Sportscast, September 11th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Periscope, YouTube, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, and also go on Twitter and follow us at thesportscast1. This episode is brought to you by Insta Bible app. You can download the Insta Bible app in the the Apple iOS store. Today, September 11th, we honor all our heroes who were impacted by 9/11. We will never forget. Last night was the NFL kickoff 2020, where the Chiefs began their title defense with a victory over the Houston Texans. And joining us, our NFL contributor to the Sportscast, Jeff Favre. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you, Santiago. Appreciate you having me.
Jeff, what a win. 34-20 over the Texans. The Chiefs look like they're back.
Well, what really impressed me was that they didn't really have a lot of big plays all night, but they still moved the ball and scored, you know. That really, I know it's not as exciting, right? Like, especially for Chiefs fans, you get used to, you know, 50-yard touchdowns by Tyreek Hill and Mahomes making crazy plays. And those things are going to come. I'm not worried about that. What impressed me the most was the Texans really forced the Chiefs to take a lot of underneath throws and run the ball. And the Chiefs were willing to do that. They didn't force the ball downfield. They didn't force plays to happen that weren't there. And they still ended up scoring 34 points. And if you watch that game, it really felt as though the Chiefs kind of, I don't want to say went into a shell, but they didn't really do a whole lot extravagant after the first drive of the second half.
Patrick Mahomes threw for 211 yards, three touchdowns. Clyde Edwards-Helaire ran through the rain for 138 yards and another score. A great first start for this rookie.
Helaire, the thing with him is he doesn't just make people miss. He's also kind of tough to bring down. He's strong. And watching him, he's exactly what the Chiefs offense was missing last year. And I know the Chiefs ended up winning the Super Bowl, but if you watch the Chiefs on a week-to-week basis last year, there were so many games where the opposing defense just treated the Chiefs as though they couldn't run the ball against air, and they still struggled to run the ball. And Helaire, I saw a statistic where when there were six or seven men in the box, Helaire had 10 carries for 96 yards. So he averaged over 9 yards a carry in favorable situations. And I go back to the quote from Brett Veach last year when they were talking about, you know, what do you need to do to improve? One of his quotes was, there were too many plays where it was blocked up to get 8 yards, and instead we ended up with second and eight. So the Chiefs were getting favorable run situations, and they were still only getting 2 yards. So Helaire does not have to be spectacular. Helaire just has to be able to run the ball when the other team is playing their diamond nickel defense. And it's only one game, but he did a great job of that last night.
So you're saying that he might be more important than Williams, who is currently injured. Do you think if Williams come back, and of course Helaire has to have a good performance like the next couple weeks, you think Helaire is the man in Kansas City?
Well, Damian Williams, actually, he opted out of the season, so he's not going to be back.
That's correct. That's correct. Over like the COVID crisis. Correct. I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, the thing with Damian Williams was Damian Williams had that ability to break off the 86-yard touchdown run or the 90-yard touchdown run, and I don't think Helaire is that guy. I'm not saying he'll never break a big run, but that's not really his thing. He doesn't have great breakaway speed like Damian Williams. But where I think he's better than Damian Williams is when Dame wasn't breaking off that long run, there was an awful lot of 1 and 2 yard carries. And, you know, when you get to the end of the game and you're just running the clock out, I understand that because, you know, I saw Hilaire had 6 carries for -2 yards inside the 5. So the Chiefs aren't really built to run when the other team knows you're running. But where Hilaire will be a drastic improvement is on a down-to-down basis, he's going to get you 5 and 6 and 8 yard runs when the opposing defense is focusing on the passing game.
How would you describe him? Like, is he like beast mode? Is he like James White that would just, you know, will score if there's, you know, 2 yards away? What type of player is he? Or is he that explosive guy that will give you 40 yards running somehow?
The guy that I think the closest comparison that I've liked was he's not as bulky as what Maurice Jones-Drew was, but I think he has that similar skill set. He's similar to Jones. I would say he's probably a little bit quicker in a small space than Jones was, but not quite as powerful. Now, he is powerful. I'm not trying to downplay him. But, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew was an ox. You know, he was dynamic, but he was tough to bring down. So I think from the comparisons that I've seen so far, that would be the closest that I've seen. But let's be careful here because he's played one game and Maurice Jones-Drew was a great running back for a short span.
It's only one game. Of course, Hilaire was drafted by the Chiefs first round, the last pick of the first round, 32nd pick. So they definitely got a good value with that pick. Tyreek Hill, Jeff, I didn't see much noise from him in the first half. I didn't watch the second half. Do you think he underperformed?
No. I mean, you know, he did have a touchdown in the second half. And, you know, here's the thing. There's going to be a lot of weeks where teams just say, we can't let Tyreek Hill destroy our entire game plan. And if you watch the Texans, they were continually playing deep coverage because they didn't want the Chiefs to just hit that 60-yard play to either Hill or Hardman. And to Mahomes' credit, to Sammy Watkins' credit, to Travis Kelce's credit, they took what was given to them. They didn't force the ball down the field. So there are just going to be weeks that Tyreek Hill doesn't have a big statistical game because teams are terrified of him making those huge plays. So when those games happen, the Chiefs are going to have to run the ball, throw it to Kelce, throw it to Watkins, throw it to Robinson. And guess what, man? They still scored 34 points, and they weren't aggressive in the fourth quarter. So if you score 34 points in a game that you didn't keep your foot on the gas pedal, I mean, you can't ask for anything more than that. But 34 points should win you every game.
34 points did last night for the Chiefs. Sammy Watkins had 82 yards. Travis Kelce, 50 yards. Of course, Hill got 46 yards. DeMarcus Robinson, 20 yards. Jeff, the core's still there. I mean, this team has the mechanism, the core to win all the way. Of course, you have to go through Baltimore, which we've been talking about that offline. But are you feeling confident with this team so far? And I know it's been one game. I know. But after the first game, you had a good first impression, didn't you?
Yeah, and one of the underrated encouraging things I saw was that they only had one penalty.
And that's pretty good.
It is. Last year when you watched the Chiefs, it seemed like for every big play they made, they also had a big play that was called back by penalty. It just for whatever reason, it was just a problem, especially early to mid-year. Penalties were a huge issue. So that was encouraging. And the other thing that's not getting talked about, the Texans had one drive. They had a touchdown drive in the first half, in the first quarter, actually. And then, really, they didn't do much until the game was in hand. So what encouraged me is that the defense actually played really well. And I will say, we don't know what the Texans' offense is yet, because it's going to take them time to get used to playing without DeAndre Hopkins. Brandon Cooks is a nice player. Will Fuller is a deep threat. Kenny Stills is a deep threat. I thought David Johnson actually looked pretty good. But until the Texans figure out exactly how they're going to run their offense without Hopkins, I don't know how good their offense really is. But the Chiefs' defense, aside from that one drive in the first quarter, they had Watson pretty uncomfortable. He was having to run around and move around the pocket a lot, and he never really settled in. So aside from getting those late touchdown drives where the Chiefs were, you know, playing a lot of looser zones and, you know, just trying to basically run the clock out, I thought the defense was very encouraging given how early in the season it is.
David Johnson had 77 yards. Deshaun Watson, 253. It feels like they're going to use a lot of David Johnson this season, aren't they?
It feels that way early. It seemed as though both teams ran the ball more than they normally would. And maybe some of that was just because there was no preseason. Maybe you lessen the ability to make mistakes whenever you run the ball. So that could have played some of it. But, yeah, it seems to me, I mean, David Johnson, I don't know that he's ever going to get back to prime David Johnson.
2017 Arizona Cardinals, David Johnson.
Yeah, I think that's asking a lot. But it looked as though he trimmed down a bit, and he looked pretty quick compared to the last couple years. So if the Texans can get a good version of David Johnson, you know, that's a good place to start.
Of course, this show, we're partly talking a little bit NFL preview. The Houston Texans are part of the AFC South. Who do you think will win the AFC South, and where is Houston going to be within the standings in the AFC South?
I like the Colts roster quite a bit, and I do think Phillip Rivers playing behind a better offensive line will be a great help to him. But at the end of the day, I still think it comes down to the Texans and Titans. I would lean towards the Texans just a little bit, because Derrick Henry's a great player, but it's hard to replicate what the Titans did last year. It's hard to come back and win the same way when your quarterback is a little bit more game manager than a great player. So Tannehill's a good player, but when the Titans have been forced into situations where they had to throw the ball, then things started to fall apart a little bit. So I'd still lean the Texans in that division just because I think Watson's quarterback in the division.
Watson, definitely a stellar quarterback on the field and also in your NFL spectrum, of course. So we'll definitely see what happens. The Chiefs' next two games is going to to LA Chargers and the Baltimore Ravens. What are your expectations? Obviously, Ravens is the big one from 2 weeks from now, but how do you see the Chargers? Obviously, we haven't seen the Chargers played yet, but are you having a good hunch about this game?
The Chargers' defense has actually played against the Chiefs' offense pretty well the last few times they've played. But, you know, the Chargers, I think their defense has a ton of talent. Their defense will be tough. But on offense, look, I never like to, like, just completely bash a player or be harsh. I just don't see how you can trot Tyrod Taylor out there real long. I mean, how long can you sell your team on playing a journeyman quarterback and also be saying that you're putting your best foot forth to win games? I don't think Tyrod Taylor is the answer. I don't know, you know, is Herbert ready? Obviously, there was no preseason. We didn't get to see much of training camp. So it's really hard to answer that question. I don't think you can start more than I don't think you can start Tyrod Taylor more than four or five games before guys start to question what the team is trying to do. So I think the rookie's going to get pressed into action, and I don't know that that's a good thing. I don't know that he's pro-ready year one. So the Chargers' defense is going to keep them in games, but I don't think they're a threat to win the division.
Tyrod Taylor is, I mean, of course, the bridge quarterback to Justin Herbert. Question is, when is Herbert going to start? Some say it's by week six. I know that he'll have more playing time than Tua Tagovailoa in Miami. And, of course, the other quarterback, Joe Burrow, is expected to start week one against the Cincinnati Bengals. But, you know, these rookie quarterbacks sometimes get tumbled in. Or some, like Mr. Josh Rosen, where he has scaled back to a practice quarterback and maybe learn from the great Tom Brady. Other news besides last night's game was Jalen Ramsey signs extension with the Rams, $105 million, keeping the 25-year-old in L.A. through the 2025 season. Jeff, was this a good signing for the Rams?
If you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna make that move to trade for Ramsey, you have to keep him long term. You know, they gave up a lot to get him. My only concern with the Rams, what I see happening with them, they kind of went all in and it didn't work. So once you go all in and it doesn't work, I have a hard time finding an example where you bounce back from that. So Aaron Donald is awesome, Ramsey is awesome, but now you have a bunch of dead money to guys that aren't on the team with Cooks and Gurley, and I don't think Goff is the guy to get you there. So you have all these super high-profile, high-priced guys, but I don't know if the rest of the roster is good enough. So yes, you absolutely had to sign Ramsey and keep him, but I don't think the Rams are going to be a really good team.
Of course, the LA Rams have Jared Goff, and of course they gave away Todd Gurley, so definitely looking more at the defensive mind. Denver Broncos lost a big linebacker named Von Miller. Jeff, obviously the Broncos are in the AFC West. Is this a big loss for the Broncos?
Well, yes. I mean, other than losing your quarterback, I think that's about the biggest loss the Broncos could have. And when you pair that with Bradley Chubb apparently isn't 100% yet, you know, the Broncos were going to have a violent pass rush to hide some of their concerns at corner this year. And now your pass rush loses either their best or second best pass rusher, depending on how you view Chubb. And man, that's a lot to make up for. That's a lot to ask to make up for not just one of your very best players, but he's also going to be one of the more prominent voices in your locker room. So that's difficult as well. And that's a brutal blow for the Broncos. It really is. That's a brutal blow.
Are you in the Drew Lock bandwagon? Of course, you're a Chiefs fan, but do you think Drew Lock will be a success in Denver?
I guess that depends on what you define as success. I think, you know, I've been saying this. I think after this season, the Broncos are a prime candidate to trade for Aaron Rodgers. And here's what I see. I think Drew Lock. So when Patrick Mahomes came into the NFL, there were people that thought he had a big arm and he had all the physical tools, but he had a lot of work to do in terms of the little things and being consistent. And then it turned out Mahomes was a superstar. I think Drew Lock is what people thought Pat Mahomes was. I think Drew Lock is going to make some spectacular plays, and he's going to make those wow throws. but I don't think he's going to be consistent on a week-to-week basis. And I think at the end of the day, he's going to be good, but he's not going to be good enough for John Elway to turn off his blinders and not try to trade for someone to win now.
Quarterback.
So I think Drew Locke will be.
Yeah, go ahead.
He'll be the start of this. I think he'll be the start of this year, and I think he'll have a pretty good year. But I think the temptation to go out and get a guy that can win now is going to be too great, and I don't think Elway is going to stick with him.
Expectations are low if Drew Locke needs to win now. Of course, he came into the league about 2 years ago, so we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. But definitely looking at what's going to happen in Denver, known as a quarterback type of team, where John Elway played, and of course the great Peyton Manning. Okay, Jeff, we're going to do a rundown of each of the division in the conference. You tell me the winner of that division. Are you ready?
Okay.
AFC East is Bills, Dolphins, Patriots, and Jets. Who do you think will come up top?
I think this is the year the Bills finally have enough to get over the hump. I think the Bills win the division.
AFC West, I think you'll pick the Chiefs, so we'll skip that one. AFC North, the Ravens, Bengals, Browns, and Steelers.
So I guess I lean Ravens. I think they'll hold on, but the Steelers are going to be right there because their defense is loaded, and Roethlisberger will be better. I mean, I'm not saying Roethlisberger will be great, but he'll be better than what they had at quarterback last year.
A much healthier Roethlisberger and a lightweight. He's lost some weight, so we'll see if that will help out and endure his career or prolong his career. AFC South, you mentioned the Texans. I think you're probably going to stick with that. Let's go to the NFC East, Cowboys, Giants, Eagles, and the Washington football team. Jeff, what are you thinking? Who's going to win the NFC East?
I like the Eagles because, I mean, it's all about Wentz staying healthy, but the number of injuries the Eagles had at the wide receiver position last year, I don't think will repeat itself. And I think the Eagles are going to win that division.
Eagles win, of course. There's been talk about the Cowboys possibly as well. So we'll see how that thing develops. NFC West, Cardinals, Rams, Niners, and Seahawks. A pretty heavy NFC West. Jeff, who is going to come up on top?
Well, last year it came down to the last game with the Seahawks and Niners, and, you know, the Niners just held on. I think this year the Seahawks are going to win it, and I think it'll come down to the wire again between them and the Niners. But I trust Russell Wilson more than I trust Jimmy Garoppolo, and it's really, really hard to have a dominant defense back-to-back years. And I mean, the Niners are still going to have a great defense, but I don't know if it'll be enough to carry them to the division. So I like the Seahawks.
The North, Chicago Bears, Detroit Lions, Green Bay Packers, and the Minnesota Vikings.
Man, it's tough because I think year two will be better for Rodgers with Matt LaFleur. But the Vikings roster, man, is just – I mean, the Vikings are loaded.
They got some good deals over the break.
It'll take time. They did. And it'll take time to get the life with the Diggs. I mean, he's a great player. So I think I have to go with the Packers just because I don't trust Kirk Cousins as much as I trust Rodgers. And the Packers' defense should be pretty good. I think it's another division that comes down to the last week or two, but I like the Packers.
NFC South with newcomer Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, Saints, the Carolina Panthers, and the Atlanta Falcons. Who will come out alive, Jeff Flower?
I'm still going to go with the Saints.
Safest pick.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Saints roster a lot. I like the Bucs roster a lot, too. And I still think whoever doesn't win the division of those two will end up in the playoffs as a wild card. But the continuity with the Saints will be a big deal. And with the Bucs, so, I mean, Brady's 43 years old, and everybody hits the wall eventually. I mean, every athlete, And I'm not saying it definitely happens like week one, but Brady can't play until he's 60. You know, eventually he's going to see a decline.
Which some people have seen it last year a bit.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, Breeze is just as old, so I mean, Breeze could hit the wall just as likely as Brady. But I just trust the Saints a little bit more because they've had that group together for longer.
We'll see what happens with the Vels in the NFC South. And, of course, Tampa Bay will be playing New Orleans in the first game, so it should be a huge stunner game. Ready for predictions, rapid fire.
Absolutely.
Jets at the Bills.
Bills, man, the Bills are going to be – I think they feel as though this is their time, and if it wasn't a division game, I'd say it's a blowout, but I still picture this as like a 31-14 type game.
Transition of power. Packers at the Vikes.
I know I just picked the Packers to win, but I think the Vikings will win this individual game because it's in Minnesota. Well, I guess home field doesn't mean as much now with no fans. But
correct. Thank you. You agree with me. Thank you.
Yeah. I do think the Vikings will win this individual game, though.
Eagles at the Washington football team.
Eagles. Yeah, I expect the Eagles to come out and play well. I think the Eagles win.
Cleveland Browns at the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh. The Browns, I'll tell you what, the Browns have given the Ravens problems over the last couple years. But I don't think that happens this year. Especially with the Ravens. I know home field doesn't mean as much without the fans, but there's still a comfort factor there. I like the Ravens.
Colts at the Jags.
Colts. Jaguars are a mess, man. I mean, the Jaguars are just shipping out anyone that... I mean,
it seems like a tanking. Don't you see that?
And they trade someone every week, and every time that player gets traded, they bash the Jags about how it's bad and... Yeah, I think they might go 1-15, so I like the Colts.
Hostile environment in Jacksonville. The Raiders at the Carolina Panthers, new coach.
Man, I like John Gruden as a coach, and the Panthers have just kind of started over. But I don't trust the Raiders. I just don't trust them. I think the Panthers win.
The Bears at the Detroit Lions with Galloway.
I like the Lions. I like the Lions because the Bears, I don't know, you go out and you get Nick Foles and then you name Trubisky the starter anyway.
Quite strange, isn't it?
And I just, psychologically, how does that work for the Bears guys? Like, they've seen the shortcomings of Trubisky for, what, 3 years now or 2 years now?
They should have saw the whole entree by now.
Yeah. I don't like what the Bears are doing, so I like the Lions.
The Lions are a little bit more stable, according to Jeff Farver. Seattle Seahawks goes visit to another nest, the Atlanta Falcons.
That's a tough one going across country.
Dome game.
But I like, and I like the Seahawks though. I'm not a quite tricky match. Believer. Yeah, I mean, the Falcons will be better than last year. But I still like the Seahawks head-to-head.
The Miami Dolphins visit the new Cam Newton Patriots.
Man, it's funny because the last time these two played in New England was actually that Week 17 game the Dolphins pulled the upset. I still lean the Patriots, though. I think Cam Newton will do just enough, and I like the Patriots on defense. I think, too, they have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, so they'll get off to a good start.
We'll see a good combination between him and Edelman, right, you think?
Absolutely, yep.
I got this wrong. Let me skip that one. Arizona at San Francisco.
San Fran. The Cardinals will give them all they can handle, and I like that they got Hopkins, and I like Murray a lot. But the Niners defense, man, they're going to be foaming at the mouth. So I like the Niners.
Chargers at Cincinnati.
C- Cincinnati. That's one that I think. I believe the Bengals are a slight underdog, but I think they're going to win just because I don't. I think Burrow will just make a couple. You know, he'll make just enough plays, and I'm just not a fan of Tyrod Taylor.
Automatic starter Jeff Burrow, the Tampa Bay Brady's at the New Orleans Saints. It might be the last dance for Drew Brees.
I'm going with the Saints. I and it'll be a great game, especially, you know, I think that'll turn into a little bit of a rivalry and being a division game, but I like the Saints.
You think obviously Ronald Jones is the starter running back, but you think Fournette can overcome it and become number one, or you think Fournette would be that backup only, RB2?
Yeah. I think Fournette is going to eventually be the starter there. I like Fournette. I think he's a pretty good player. You know, I'm not saying it's hard to judge a running back where Fournette came from because there wasn't a whole lot around him. So I think he'll fit well in Tampa. And then you have Ron Jones, and it looks like, you know, Shady McCoy signed there, but I have to think he's going to be the odd guy out. He's not going to see the ball a lot.
RB3, the boys visit Los Angeles Rams at SoFi Stadium, which costs $6 billion. We'll help him win.
I like the Cowboys in that game. I think with no preseason, and I think we saw it already with the Chiefs and Texans, those two teams are eventually going to be pass heavy, and even they leaned on the run game. So I think the Cowboys will lean on the run game and win a 24-17 type game.
The Steelers, Sunday Night Football, visit the New York Giants at Meadowlands. Jeff, who's going to win that Sunday night first game of the season?
The Giants are going to put up more of a fight than people think.
Danny Jones.
I don't think the Giants are going to be a mess like some people think. But ultimately, with Ben back, the Steelers will just be too much. You know, the thing about Roethlisberger is whether he has one of those games where he throws four touchdowns or four interceptions or anything in between, he's always going to give you some big plays. And I think that it'll be a tight, contested defensive game. But Roethlisberger will make a play more than what Dan Jones will. So I like the Steelers.
Steelers win in New York. NBA Game 5, the Clippers at the Clippers versus Nuggets because they're playing in Orlando.
Yeah, I think the Clippers are going to – I think the Clippers are ultimately going to pull it out. I just think Kawhi is the best player in that series. I love the Nuggets, man. They're fun, and they have a bunch of a great young talent.
Jokic.
You know, and Murray is great too, but I like the Clippers.
And Game 7, the Celtics versus the Toronto Raptors. What a series. Jeff, who's going to play against Miami?
Yeah, I like the Celtics. Just nothing more than much of a gut feeling, and I like Brad Stevens a lot, so I lean towards the Celtics.
And random question of the day, who makes the best cinnamon bun? You got Cinnabon, the one that you find in the mall, Pillsbury, Annie's, or Myers? Myers is a store in Michigan. I'm not sure if Jeff has been there, but they do have cinnamon buns in a freezer.
I like Cinnabon. I mean, I can actually feel my heart slowing down when I eat those, so I know that that's the good stuff.
I think I had that same feeling, too.
Yeah.
It's weird.
You don't want to have more than one of those.
Yeah, you shouldn't. Have you tried it with ice cream?
Oh, no, I haven't. I usually just have coffee with it.
That's not a bad thing. It's a little healthier. Ice cream adds another 500 calories. Cinnamon bun is tied 40% with Pillsbury. Annie's at second place at 20. Myers at zero because Myers is only in the Midwest. So I think that's why we don't see much of Meyer. Voting.
I've never had them, but next time I travel, I'll be looking for them.
There you go. Jeff Farr, what's the best way to reach you to discuss about the Kansas City running game?
The best way to talk about how great Anthony Sherman is is to follow me on Twitter at JT Fulver.
And of course, you can follow us on Twitter at TheSportsCast1 or on our website at TheSportsCast.net. You'll see the latest and greatest in news. A lot going on this week. And of course, NFL kickoff on Sunday. The more games are continuing. College football tomorrow. And of course, the Premier League kicks off their season tomorrow, as well as La Liga. Pretty exciting times in sports, but I'm really glad that everything's coming to fray. Hey, Jeff, there's a lot of sports going on. We're going to see golf, tennis. A lot's going to collide together.
It's amazing, and it's great to be getting some level of normalcy again.
And a whole lot of sports started off with no fans, back in the summer times, but with the NFL, of course, a little bit later in the year, they were able to have at least 20% in the stands, so that's good.
In some places, yeah. And I'm hopeful that as the year goes on, more stadiums will actually at least allow some fans. So I think it'll get, even though we'll be getting back into cold and flu season, I still think that as the year goes on, we'll actually see more fans, not less.
And all you guys that said, I'm not going to do any type of NFL play gambling or any type of just trying to skip the NFL completely, guys, you're missing out. It was a good game yesterday. Sunday's going to be even better. Watch out for the Saints and the Buccaneers. But anyways, Jeff Farr, great show.
All right. Thanks for having me, Santiago.